The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. To the Atlanta podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. It's February the 21st, third week of February in this very short month. Hey, how about that frickin' monsoon we're having? I just wanted to make this super dated. So if you're listening to this not in March because you saw that it was Super Bowl content and you just thought it'd be cool, that part won't make sense. But hey, everybody else listening the day it came out or after, you'll totally know. Hey, we have a Patreon program that I'd love for you to support. Patreon is a way for consumers like yourself to contribute to content creators like myself with just a few simple clicks. There's a link in the show description, but if you forget, it's patreon.com/AtlantaPodcast. And we've just got three options up there right now, nothing too complicated. $1, $3, $5 as just a way to show you love us. We'll give you a shout out on the show. We don't have extravagant things out as many shows do, but we'll get to those as this thing develops. But I wanted to start doing it as I know that I've been able to contribute to people that way. People have been able to contribute to me that way through some of the other shows I do. And I know that it's a very mutual, loving relationship. We'll start a private Facebook group, all kinds of fun stuff. So right now, go to patreon.com. There's a nice link in the show description as well. Today's program, as you know, it's part two of the Super Bowl stuff. You heard last time about how exciting it was, how I got the tickets and all that stuff. If you didn't, go back and listen. Again, it's not required. It's not a sequel. It's just a second part. So you don't have to listen to the first chapter to enjoy the second chapter. So these guys will all say their names, but I'm going to quickly give you who they were. Bill Romanowski, who was a very, very intense linebacker in the NFL that I watched growing up. My friend Kostaki Economopoulos, who was on the show. I just said his name wrong. Who was on the show a while back. Pac-Man Jones, some of you may have heard of. He was super controversial back when he played. A gentleman named Antonio Hamilton. And the Schmo. Now, the Schmo, you should definitely check out his videos. I'm going to link everybody and all their stuff right in the description that you're listening to right now in iTunes or wherever you listen to it. You should be able to touch the little links. And if you can't, email me and I will let you know. Or just go to theatlantapodcast.com and it's the most current episode and there'll be the links there as well. So let's relive the magic down at Radio Row, January 31st, 2019, Georgia World Congress Center. Away we go. Oh, quickly. This episode is sponsored by RCR Video. RCR Video, where we record almost all of our episodes lately. We love RCR Video. They are amazing. Do you need cool content made? Do you need video services? Do you need editing services? Their production, they're badass. They're awesome. Go see Randall of the Gang down at RCR Video. Now let's get to live down there at the Super Bowl. Away we go.
2-3, check. 1-2-3.
You know, I've seen you on the television a lot. You're very handsome this close.
Thank you.
So thanks for meeting with me this morning.
You got it.
Do you always check out Super Bowl week? Is that a big, like, do you always come down and check it out?
You know what? I do. And, hey, it's part, you know, I get to do talk about football. I get to see a lot of my old buddies that I played in Super Bowls with and had a lot of great times with. You know, I get to talk about Nutrition 53, my company, you know, that I'm here promoting. So the combination is, hey, I get to be around football, which I love, and nutrition and helping people change their lives.
Well, I'm going to talk about your product because
yeah,
I promise.
No problem.
Absolutely. Yep. And as I told you yesterday, as a young man growing up watching football, being a linebacker myself, yep, as a young man,
yep,
watching a guy like you. First of all, how many rings do you have?
I have four.
So which one are you wearing today?
This is the one when I was in Denver and we beat the Green Bay Packers.
And do you switch them out? Is that the one you always wear?
You know what? This seems to be the one I tend to put on. And it happens to be my favorite Super Bowl.
Because?
Because I came in the league, won two Super Bowls back-to-back. Took me 8 years to get back, And I think this Super Bowl, I appreciated what it was like to get back more than all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, having that 8-year gap really was like, this is amazing. And then for us to be 14-point underdogs, to win that game. Hey, we went back the next year and won and, you know, beat the Atlanta Falcons.
I was going to say you beat us.
Yeah, we beat the Atlanta Falcons, and that was great. Hey, they're all great, but the one that where there was a gap for, like I said, 8 years, that tended to just resonate with me more.
Well, you know, I think a lot of these guys talk about the next one, the second one, isn't as sweet as that first one because of the chase.
Yeah.
Although our man Tom, I thought, had the best quote. They asked him which one was his favorite. He said the next one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
that, you know, it is. It's about the quest. It's about the drive. It's about the push. It's about the blood, sweat, and tears it takes to get you there. You know, it's like as soon as the Super Bowl was over, I could not wait to start training again to get ready for the next season. I loved it. And because of that, you know, I feel blessed.
What do you think Belichick knows that the rest of us don't?
I think he knows a lot what everybody else does. He just does it with an attention to detail that is second to none. There are no stones unturned. So that part of it, and then how he brings the team together and has them, even more than that, he takes each and every guy, and I think his real talent is getting guys to do exactly what they're really, really good at. And he doesn't ask them to do something other than that. And how you do that with 11 guys on every given play is a gift. And that's what he's able to do.
And how is he created? Like, every team wants to say, like, oh, next man up, next man up. But nobody has, you know, like I always say all the time, all the great dynasties, there's three guys.
Yeah.
Right? There's quarterback, running back, receiver, maybe quarterback, two receivers, right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, could you name how many people he's handed off to in 10 Super Bowls?
I mean.
Or thrown passes to?
Yeah.
So that's the part about Belichick. Like, what does he get? He'll have three different running backs in the same game.
Yeah. You know, it's the system. It's the, like I said, it's the attention to detail and the execution of that. They execute better than any. You always hear coaches talk about going out and executing. What comes with executing is you got to have guys that make plays. Think about some of the plays that were made in the last game. Think about Gronk being literally, hey, I got to be careful here, raped by Barry, you know, holding him, doing everything he can do, and he catches that long ball on the sideline, which was an amazing catch. Then he catches the slant. And then you see the catch by Hogan.
Were three third and tens on that drive.
Edelman's catch. It was pretty unbelievable, you know, what they're able to do and how they're able to execute.
Right. And you were coached for some pretty solid dudes, right?
Yeah.
Right. Who did you play under?
I played under Bill Walsh.
Right.
George Seifert, Mike Shanahan, Bill Callahan when I got to the Raiders, Ray Rhodes. I had a lot of great football coaches.
Yeah.
And, Bill Walsh, it was the attention to detail. That made him special. And he knew, you know, he didn't do it as long as Belichick had done it, but he was as special, but he just didn't do it as long.
But I think he regretted that, don't you think?
Like, I think so, because, you know, he ended up coaching at Stanford afterwards.
Right.
I think there was a part of him, if he had to live his life over again,
right,
I think he would have stayed in it.
So I told you, as a young man watching football, and I feel like all of us it seems like whoever we grew up watching, there was nothing like it.
Yeah.
Right? And I've talked to a few players. Like, I talked to Eric Hippel yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, was it better then, or we just feel like it was?
Yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on that?
You know what? It's for me, I grew up as a Dolphins fan.
Really?
Yeah. And the closest I got to the Dolphins, you know, is this. And this was a big deal to me. I always thought of how amazing the Orange Bowl was. The Orange Bowl was a rickety old stadium. But I got, when I was a freshman in college, during the Flutie game, I played in the Orange Bowl. And all I could think about were those great Dolphin teams playing in the Orange Bowl and the Super Bowls that were played there. And it was awe for me. You know, I think for football in general, whether it be certain dynasties have been together, be certain games that have brought people together, and so many fond memories of whether it be going to games, for me playing in games, watching games, family, friends, just there's nothing like it.
So if you're watching TV and you're flipping through NFL films and a game like that comes on for you that you were in or that you did great, are you freaking all in?
You know what? I mean, I'll watch it for a little bit, but I was sometimes my worst critic. You know, I didn't like, there's part of me that didn't like to watch myself.
Because
I don't know.
You see when you messed up or?
And the TV copy doesn't show. I mean, I don't mind. I like watching film, you know, but watching film is a lot different than watching a TV version because you miss a lot on the TV version.
Even though they've gotten pretty good at getting the cameras in there and the sounds of the game and.
Yeah.
I mean, like for a guy like you, they always want to get, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a lot different, though, when you watch film. There's no broadcasters. You're just watching football.
Right.
You know, and I'd rather do that.
So let's talk about, tell me what you're drinking here.
This is, you know, Nutrition 53's Lean One. And we have the Lean One smoothie at Smoothie King. We have a great partnership with them.
I can buy it at Smoothie King?
You can go to Smoothie King and ask for the Lean One smoothie. And it's one of the best tasting, best functioning smoothies. If you want to be lean, strong, and fit and feel better, you know, you can get the Lean One smoothie at Smoothie King. Or you can go to Nutrition 53 and you can get the Lean One, our Lean One product there.
Are you in a vitamin shop?
We are in vitamin
My
shop.
My wife works at the vitamin
we
shop.
We are the number one meal replacement sold in vitamin shop.
I did not know that.
Yes.
How long, you've had this company for a while.
Yeah, do you 10 years.
And a NASCAR thing?
I was involved in NASCAR for a little time. I had a partner that was involved in NASCAR.
Right.
And, you know, that went well. But he ended up going out of business. And for a year, it was a lot of fun. And for me, it's just about spreading the word about health and wellness.
Did you call Joe Gibbs for maybe a little advice?
I actually talked to Joe Gibbs at a couple different races, and he was awesome. You know, at the end of the day, he's a mentor and a coach, and he just loves racing.
Right.
You know, and being a part of it, and he loves mentoring people.
Yeah. So I have to talk about defense.
Yeah.
And today's game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. This is, you know, speaking of NASCAR, so people say, oh, but they watch it for the violence. And I think to myself, I am like, yes, we love the jacked up hit, as it were. And we celebrated that for a long time.
Yeah.
And watching guys like you and Alzado and all the rest of it. But I don't watch it for the damage, right?
Yeah.
But then I think, you know, people in NASCAR say they don't watch for the crashes. Like, oh, maybe I'm lying to myself. Maybe because clearly watching all those catches you just talked about is what I watch for, right?
Yeah.
Or just the turn of events that can happen in football in a 2-minute span, and they seem to they want to get rid of it. It feels like, and can the product survive?
You know, I think it's still one of the greatest games. I think it will survive because, you know, there's something. It's the ultimate team game. It's violent. It is scoring touchdowns. It's fun to watch. It's exciting. I will say this, but I hear millennials say it's too slow. And I'm like, it's amazing. So that is something that the NFL has got to listen to. And they've got to figure out a way to speed it up.
Baseball is too slow.
Baseball is, you know, really slow.
How can you think football is too slow?
I know, but that's how millennials think.
And so that's what they're going after. The like, we want every game to be 45, 41, yeah. Which yeah. A couple of those are okay, but
yeah,
right?
You know, hey, at the end of the day, it's about watching two teams compete at a high level, and I love to see great football, great competition, a lot of hitting, and a lot of touchdowns.
Who do you remember playing against the most? Who do you, when you think about your playing days?
Tony Gonzalez. That's one that always stands out to me.
Because?
Oh, he was that good. He's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, he was hard to cover, you know. And I would shut him down when I played against him. But it was everything I had to do that.
Anybody else?
He stands out, you know, of course. You know, you've got all the great running backs that I went up against, you know. You know, Jerome Bettis. I mean, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game, you know, with...
You okay? Okay.
With, you know...
I wasn't sure if you were looking at me.
Jerome Bettis, Charlie Garner, believe it or not.
Who's Charlie Garner?
Charlie Garner is a guy I played with in Philadelphia and against when he was in San Francisco. The little guys that would make you miss, David Meggett.
I remember
was
Meggett.
Another one.
I remember Meggett, you know, for the Giants.
Yeah, I can go on and on. You know, just, hey, Eric Dickerson.
How, just real quick, how would, I don't even know how you bring a guy like Bettis down because he's so...
Tackle him low.
How do you get it?
Go for the knees.
How do you get that low?
Wrap him up. You know? So, good.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Hey, thank you.
And
appreciate
we'll do,
it.
We'll do a post and we'll plug your stuff and
okay.
All that stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate
it. That was great.
Yes.
Talk that way.
Yep.
So, first of all, my guest today, Kostaki Panamopoulos, the longest name in show business.
The biggest name in comedy.
Biggest name in comedy. He was on the show. I interviewed him over a year ago. I only recently uploaded it. Sorry it took so long.
Oh, that probably didn't help me get people at the punchline.
I don't. It wouldn't have anyway. But here's what's interesting. You know, did they leave that here? Because I'll drink it. Is that yours?
Rodney started it. You can finish it.
Okay. Look, there's Herschel. So, you know, I make eye contact with someone. You know, I might stick my hand out. And, you know, a lot of them are busy. And you're like, hey, can I? And they're like, you know, I'm just, you know, run around. Or if they got a handler, I'll try to ask the handler.
Right.
And then some guys look at you like you shit on their foot.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm trying to be compassionate. Like, these guys get approached all the time.
Right, right.
But we're not, like, at a restaurant where you're having dinner.
Right.
We're
at some guys are, like, ridiculously accommodating.
Oh, no. Right.
It's the full range, right?
Right. But I'm kind of like...
Right.
And I'm not going to call any out here because I haven't given them a chance to explain themselves. But I'll tell you afterwards. And I thought, like, all right. Like, again, I'm... Like, if they're having dinner with their kids, I can see getting that look. Like, hey, man. Like, you give the vibe that I'm not going to be talked to. But
right.
this event... That's what you're going to get asked.
It's press.
Right? And seriously, it was like seriously, like, anyway. So that's been interesting. And then certainly, like people are willing to talk to you, people who are, like, handing out their card wanting to get talked to.
Right.
But it is kind of, I'm trying not to be starstruck, but it is, like, you know, I call it leaving your body, right? Like,
yeah.
On stage, we talk about that sometimes.
Sitting next to Herschel Walker.
Well, how about
as a
young football player watching this guy rip people's heads off?
Right.
And I'm like I leave my body for a second and go, all right, stay in the game here.
Right.
So how has your week been so far? This is your how many Super Bowl?
This is my fifth one.
Nice.
I love it. It's fun. It's like a football nerd's dream come true.
Right.
I'm literally talking to guys that I've had on fantasy teams, you know, and people I've been writing jokes about. I was doing a C.J. Anderson joke to a table, and then next table I'm there, he comes and sits down next to me. He's the next interview.
Nice.
So it's kind of surreal for a comic, you know. And even like, I'm even such a football dork that I enjoy seeing the people who cover football.
Me too.
Oh, it's Schlereth and John Clayton and Kenny Mayne.
Dude, absolutely.
Yeah,
I saw Kenny Mayne. I wanted to get him. I saw the who's the great guy from the Red Zone.
Oh yeah, Scott.
The good one.
Yeah, yeah, he's great.
The good Red Zone.
He's unbelievable.
I saw him coming out of the bathroom. He seemed genuinely surprised that I asked him. I was like, "Hey, man, do you have time today?" He was like, sure. Like, I was like, dude,
right.
You're the best.
I
kind of can't watch the other Red Zone.
There's some, I love it. I mean, it's just a spectacle. It's fun, man. It's great to be here in the middle of it all. I'm so sick of the Patriots being in the Super Bowl, but, it's cool to see them too. Talk to them.
Here's a question I've asked everybody this week.
Yeah.
What does Bill Belichick know that the rest of us don't know?
He's just really good at what he does. That's all. He's really good at what he does. He's transcendently good at what he does. But this other kid, McVay, is supposed to be the new Belichick, and that team's better on paper than the Patriots are, so I think they have a real shot. They got a better defense.
I don't know. The Chiefs should have beat the Patriots. A lot of people should have beat the Patriots.
Chiefs almost did. They were one neutral zone infraction away.
Right?
Yeah.
Or one phantom roughing the passer play. Dude, it's
this is Brady's ninth Super Bowl. He's been in 9 Super Bowls. I think in Georgia that means they're married. Joke number one. It's a common law marriage, you see.
Zing.
He's been in more Super Bowls than Antonio Cromartie's been in delivery rooms. That's a lot. He's been in more Super Bowls than...
No, slow down.
Larry
slow down.
King has been in marriages.
Slow down.
I looked it up. That's 8.
It is 2019. I'm looking around. It is 2019. And one Kostocki just made 2 of the most unwoke jokes I've heard.
He's had a lot of kids. That's not unwoke. What am I going to say? Larry King got married a lot.
So I'm a big Law & Order fan. You travel. You're in a lot of hotels. You got to be a big Law & Order fan, right?
Yeah.
What do you watch when you're in hotels?
I don't watch much. I usually don't turn on TV at all. Sometimes I'll watch SportsCenter or a game or something.
Well,
CNN.
I've been watching a lot of Law & Order. By the way, I'm drinking A, after Rodney Harrison, and B, a shake that is from Romanowski. Who knows what's in it, right? Who knows? I didn't even get to ask him the fun drug test stuff either.
Yeah, but those aren't his favorite questions.
No, but like, I'm not going to be an asshole. But I would have said, like, you're one of the first guys that came out. Like, now everyone's admitting it or pretending to admit it. I mean, like, he was one of the first guys. I'm curious about that.
Right.
But what I was going to say was, I was watching Law & Order, and, like, 95, 2000, like, these jokes they were making, I was like, wow, like, it may as well be, like, the 70s or the 80s or the 50s. Like, the jokes are, like, pretty, like I said, unwoke, I guess is the term. It's like, what did they just say? Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, the pendulum has moved pretty quick.
Yeah, it's moved really too far the other way, in my opinion.
But well, how is that going for you?
It's fine.
You get a lot of groans?
It's mostly a non-issue for me. No,
I mean, you've never been that guy anyway.
No, I pay attention to what's going on in the world, and I think I'm a pretty enlightened guy for the most part. But I will defend my craft against this sort of push that, you know, one phrase could end your career. Like, come on. You're in a nightclub environment. That's part of the joy of being in there, is that you're allowed to say things that you can't say in polite company. That's kind of what part of what the magic of a comedy club is. So we've got to have a little more leeway.
Sure. She's bringing Pac-Man Jones over.
Well, you got to talk to Pac-Man Jones.
I'm totally. Yeah, I'm totally ready. Bring him on over. Oh, you can. Sure. What time? You're fine. You're fine. This is a friend of mine. This is Kostocki.
Okay, okay, okay.
You're totally
we'll
fine.
Edit it out.
I won't edit it out. I would say both of those are bigger than me. Happily do 2 o'clock. I'll see you in 1 hour. Right here, up top.
All right.
Good to see you.
Can I get your card?
No, we texted. I got your info.
I know, but I'm going to keep track of
I don't have a card. It's 2019. I don't have a card.
Phone. Still up top.
Right? Still up top.
Okay.
Okay, you got my info.
2 o'clock.
Okay. As I said, some people looking to be interviewed.
Right.
I'm going to get Pac-Man Jones.
That's great.
Joe Theismann. Nice to see you. See you. Just saying hello. You don't know me, but I see Joe Theismann, and I say hello.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure, man. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, real time, Joe fucking Theismann
right
just walked
next
by.
I know. Herschel Walker, now Joe Theismann. Pac-Man Jones is coming over. Big time. It's cool. As a football nerd, I it's hard to not be excited about it all.
So, let me ask you, because I had no idea how this worked, by the way. I had no idea this worked.
Right.
All these people that have appointments, how is that happening? Is the Super Bowl saying, here are all the radio stations available, or they just start saying they know these people are going to be there, so they start scheduling? How does it even work?
I'm learning it, and I actually hired a PR guy this year for the first time. So a lot, like this woman who just came over, she's hired by the Pac-Man Jones of the world to help connect with people like you, right? And so she's a go-between. And a lot of them are booked ahead of time, right? So these PR people are reaching out to these radio folks 2 weeks ago and setting up times. Hey, I've got Romanowski. You want him these times, these times, these times. Some of it's just wandering. And, of course, some of it's like when you see a huge name like Theismann's. Theismann will be grabbed and sat down by anybody who, you know, he's willing to sit with.
Right.
So it depends on where you are on the ladder of it all. And, of course, when you're somebody like me, you get bumped for, you know.
Right, of course.
You know, Jerry Rice. Sorry, man, we were going to have you, but Jerry Rice is here. I'm like, yeah, of course, talk to Jerry Rice. I was bumped by Jesse Jackson at one Super Bowl. I was scheduled to be on, and Jesse Jackson and Dick Vermeil talked to Woody Page for, you know, an hour, and I just sat there and watched because it was riveting radio.
So if you're a real network, like these guys, they have just, their people have reached out to people they think are going to be here.
Right.
And just start plugging them all in.
I came over and pitched myself to them, and they just shook their heads like, we are packed, man.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
I have stomach freeze.
What?
I have stomach freeze. It's like brain freeze.
Oh, from the thing?
Yes.
It's Rodney's shake.
So for a guy like you, so I'm like, so, you know, it's like when you said to me, like, well, do you want to get on camera? It's like, I just want the content, right?
Right.
So for a guy like me, I'm just going to grab Joe Theismann or Bill Romanowski or Pac-Man or whoever.
Right.
For you, you are literally just trying to be like, hey, man, do you guys have a spot? Like, I do comedy,
yeah,
and this is,
I mean,
who I am.
For me, I'm wearing three hats this week. Actually, four. I'm representing Bob and Tom, and I'm calling back to them and kind of reporting on what's going on. I'm pitching quick snaps and building my own brand, running around doing radio stations. I'm a football geek and just enjoying it all. And I'm promoting my gig at the Punchline Friday and Saturday. So it's,
you are back in town.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm kind of doing all four of those things kind of a little bit here and there, depending on who I'm talking to. And it's been fun. I was here all day Monday, all day and night Tuesday. Yesterday I took off to go run around and see my family a little bit. And I slept in because I was hammered on Tuesday night. And now I'm back at it, and I'll be here early, early, early tomorrow morning.
And then?
Then a nap, then ha-ha, night.
And then Sunday?
No, Sunday I'm wake up early and fly back to L.A. and watch the Super Bowl.
So they can't get you the actual tickets, Bob and Tom.
Right, right. Yeah, most of the media that you see here this week have what they call non-game credentials.
Right.
Right, so that's typical for my level of media.
Well, I think I might have said this to you, because I know I said it out loud to myself. When last year's Super Bowl happened, I said to myself, I got a year to make some connections to get into the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then every couple months, I'd be like, shit, I haven't done that. You know, someone at the stadium, someone in the Falcons. Like, I need to make a connection, because that's a lot easier than, you know, media at NFL.com.
Starting over, yeah. Right.
And what do you know? I fucking blew it. And then finally, like, middle of December, I was like, shit. So I was like, hey, blah, blah. They're like, yeah, forget it. There's no way you can get tickets sent. Forget it. That was supposed to happen. But if you want to get day passes, here's how you get them. And I thought, oh, I'll try it, but I'm nobody. And sure enough, I got them.
Yeah.
They said you can have 3 days. And
that
I had
one of the best kept secrets, that you can just kind of apply and come here.
Shh.
Don't
let that out. Don't let that out. Well, it made me think, is it worth flying to another years for a guy like me? Because some fun content, right? And maybe the more I'm around, the more I get to see guys. And,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, because I would never dream of flying to another city to watch the Super Bowl to get, you know, but now it's like, oh, I can get a table like this.
Right.
Like, all I would have had to have done was apply earlier, and I could have got, because a lot of these radio stations are nothing radio stations.
Right, true.
So, you get a table.
Yeah, a couple of them are kids from colleges.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard there's some college kids over here. But the point is that I'm thrilled I got in. I got 3 days, and that's why I messaged you frantically. I was like, oh, which is better? Because I assumed closer to the game was better. And then you were like, no, it gets busier. It's probably...
Well, it depends what you want. I didn't know what you were after.
Right.
For me, it's better to come Monday, Tuesday. In fact, when I was in Minneapolis last year, I just came for Monday and Tuesday, and then I left. For you, running around talking to the Bill Romanowskis, Friday's better, right? So... each day, Monday to Friday, gets heavier with big
names. So for you, you can plug into these guys. They needed some time to fill.
Tuesday, I did like 17 stations.
Because you've already built up relationships with these guys anyways.
Yes, and in this case, I had a media guy who's helping me out.
Well, so...
but yeah, half of them I had talked to prior years.
That's a lot of sit-downs.
Yeah, it's great.
Do they ask any good questions or a lot of the same stuff?
It's the full range. Some of them are absolute amazing radio pros, and some of them are clueless. It's every bit. And some of them are foreign. I talked to some guys from Mexico City who barely spoke English. I talked to some guys from Melbourne. I talked to some guys from the UK. I mean, it's kind of fun.
So it's been a year since I talked to you. Why aren't you famous yet?
I am famous. Depends who you ask.
Okay. Why aren't you...
I'm selling tickets in Indiana. What do you want?
So where can you go, by the way? I can only go M and X. What's R and C and F?
I don't even know. I have no idea. Probably... what, it's some other category, like the NFL experience or some shit?
No, I think everybody gets to go to the experience. Although I paid for it with my kid on Saturday, not knowing what
that
this was going to be.
You were good? Yeah, okay.
But I'm still glad because he got to do some stuff.
Yeah, right.
You have kids?
Yeah.
Do you listen to 30 for 30 podcasts?
No. I occasionally catch those shows. They're so well produced.
Of course. Well, there's a podcast... and I got to interview the guy who produces those, and I got to actually sit down with him, and that was like kind of my highlight of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because they're fast. You should listen to them. I don't know if you're much of a podcast guy.
Yeah. I've embraced it. It's the perfect form for walking through an airport, you know, which I do a lot.
I don't know if we talked about this. These headphones, I can put them on and hit start on a podcast. I do not even hear the announcements on the plane. These are that good.
Wow.
I'm in my own world.
What are they?
These are the Bose something something.
Okay.
I have a friend who works at Bose. He hooked me up. And I've never had one that, because usually, you know, you just hear the whatever, but it's like, stop, I want to listen to this podcast. These things are so good, I don't hear them. I only hear the podcast.
That's a pretty good pitch.
Or the music.
Okay. Nice. I'm tired, man. It's been a lot of this. I'm going to go home and sleep for a little while and then go do some family stuff. And then tomorrow, back at it early, I'm going to come down and do a couple Atlanta stations.
All right. Well, if you want to listen to Kostaki's CD.
Yeah. Live at Acme. Anywhere you get your CDs. Or your
discs, did I spit? What is this?
Downloads, iTunes, now, Amazon Music.
I may or may not be around. Like, I drank after Rodney. It was this weird shake made by Romanowski's.
It hurt your chest. Good luck.
All right, good talking to you, dude.
Good talking to you.
Welcome to Atlanta.
So the first thing I was going to ask you is if I call you Pack or Mr. Jones.
Pack.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are back to Pack.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to make sure that was acceptable.
Yeah, it's acceptable.
All right. So... do you stay here now, or just visiting for the game?
I still have my house here, but I'm from Atlanta.
Right?
Yep. I have a house here in Alpharetta. I also stay in Cincinnati.
Yeah. So, a lot of folks, to remind folks, where did you play ball when you were here?
Oh, Westlake High School. The best high school in the whole entire world.
The Fighting what? What was the?
Lions.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what was your best year?
I had a lot of good years at Westlake. Ninth grade through 12th grade, I won two championships. So I played in three.
Right.
So it was a good run for me.
Did you play any Super Bowls?
None, not one.
What's the closest you got
to the playoffs?
No. That's the what team? What year was the closest you got?
2015 was our best year, my best year with the team. But I've always lost in the first round. I've never made it past the first round.
You are the Tracy McGrady of pro football.
I'm the Tracy McGrady of pro football. You're exactly right. Yes.
But that's a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
So wait a minute. Did you play for the Ravens at the end?
No.
Who'd you play?
Denver. I just came from Denver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you officially retire or no?
Nah. I got one more year, then I retire.
Yeah? Where's that going to be?
I don't know. We'll see.
Is that what you're here doing this week? You looking for a gig?
Oh, no. I'm out networking and mingling and... showing my face and talking to a couple of people.
Well, you seem to be a guy who's on the early side of player as brand, right? Because now everybody, right, since they're in college, they're like, get an Instagram and do this and do that, and they're trying to get response. But, like, because of who you were, You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how much of that, business side of you was sort of conscious in the playing days?
It had its ups and downs, but it's helped me a whole lot more than it hurt me. It helps a lot with the business.
You don't think that when stuff was not going great, it didn't hurt because it was kind of like easy to say, like, that guy and he's got this weird name? And
well, you know, now that I look at it, and that's in my past, the some of the negative media wasn't a bad media, I guess I should say, like, because I get paid pretty good to do certain things just because of who I am. So, and I have worked hard for that on and off.
Do you think you're a misunderstood human being?
Who, me?
Yeah.
What is misunderstood? What's your definition of misunderstood?
People have an idea of who they think you are because they see things, but they don't know you.
Oh, well, yeah. You got to read the book of the cover. Read the cover of the book, I should say. But I don't think I'm misunderstood. Either you love me or you hate me. You know, it is
and
what
that
it is.
Nowhere in the middle. Doesn't matter.
It ain't nothing in the middle of that.
So tell me, when you're down south, what is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Philly cheesesteak. I'm going to say Philly cheesesteak. Texas cheesesteak. Texas milk. Yeah, Texas milk. But I really do like American Deli.
What is it?
American Deli.
Really?
You ain't had American Deli?
I have. I'm not a fan.
Oh, it's crazy.
What do you love about American Deli?
Everything. You ain't had American Deli before?
I have had.
You ain't had the wings at American Deli?
Listen, I feel like we've got some pretty good wing spots. That's not one of them that I would
That's
go to.
That's one of them.
Where else do you go
That's
for wings?
Number one.
I like Jack's. You know Jack's over
I've been to Jack's. Jack's all right.
Jack's Pizza and Wings?
Yeah, but it ain't American Deli.
I can't. Do you have money with? Are you sponsored by American Deli?
No.
Because I've never heard anyone speak this way.
They won't even let. They don't even let African Americans or no other.
Nationalities.
It's only by they Vietnamese, all the owners. They won't even sit down and talk to nobody else. It's owned by it's crazy. Good food though. Number wings, Phillies, and fries.
So who else do you work with? You said you get paid good money just for being who you are. Like, I know you did the wrestling thing for a hot second.
Yep.
Are you still doing wrestling?
I've been approached to do more wrestling, but I'm gonna wait till after football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you watching wrestling now?
Yeah.
Who do you like now?
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who you like on the men's side?
That's open right there. Ain't too many people.
Are you a Raw guy? You a SmackDown guy?
I'm a Raw.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm more of a SmackDown dude myself.
Oh, okay.
Although they keep switching them back and forth.
You don't know what you want to do.
Well, no, I don't. You know, Ronda seems like she's going to, if she can't do an arm bar, what's she going to do?
Yeah,
right? She's
right.
Not big enough to wrestle these women.
You're right.
Don't you think?
She just got to mix it up and do a, like, jumping off the ropes. She got to do some extra stuff, like, to make it interesting. Right now, she's simple.
All right, I'm going to give you more Atlanta questions. You ready?
Yeah.
I ride Marta blank.
Smarter.
like finish the sentence basically. Like,
oh, I thought you were trying to say, because they say Marta is smarter.
No, of course that's the phrase.
Go
take
ahead.
Marta and smarter.
Say it again.
So I take Marta blank.
Nowhere.
That is a common answer. Second most common answer to the airport.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Rank these in importance to you. All right. Personally. Falcons. Braves, Hawks, United.
Hawks, Braves, United, Falcons.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to a former NFL player who hates the Falcons.
I'm saying I've never been a Falcon fan. Like,
so when you grew up, who were you rooting for?
I was a Cowboys fan.
Right. I think I remember that. I think you talked about that back in the day.
Yeah.
But you're not playing for anybody right now. How can you not root for our team, man?
Y'all not even playing.
Y'all. Like, to me, I'm a little upset that the soccer team is getting as much love as they are. The
soccer team is pretty good here.
I know, but that's kind of like we can't keep people in the seats for a more people love the Bulldogs than the Falcons.
Yeah, you're right.
Are you from here?
Not from Miami.
Okay. I mean, right?
You're right.
And you were going to put the Falcons – you really?
Yeah.
Did they know that you feel that way?
Well, I'm saying – I've never been with the Falcons. It'd be different if I was with them.
Right. So if they gave you a shot, you'd be like,
I can make it do maybe. What it do, baby.
All right. Well, listen, man, where can folks, I don't know, do you have anything you want to promote or plug or find more about you?
Oh, man, Action Pack is a comic book that will be releasing in the next 3 months. That's it, man. I'm living life and trying to raise these kids, man.
How many kids you got?
Three.
I got three.
Yeah.
How old are yours?
12, 8, and a year old.
All right, that's kind of what I got. It's mine are not easy. Some kids are easy.
You got two girls?
I got a
two
girl and two boys. And the boys just beat the crap out of each other.
The boys just tap everything, don't they? Yeah. But it's good, though. That's what life is about.
All right, let's do a quick selfie.
Let's go.
Thanks, man.
Antonio Hamilton.
Antonio, where did you grow up, sir?
I grew up in a small town called Johnston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you end up here?
I went undrafted to the Oakland Raiders coming out of South Carolina State in 2016. And I ended up getting waived by the Oakland Raiders this past training camp, and the Giants claimed me off the waivers. So I ended up playing out the season there, finishing up my undrafted rookie free agent contract. And my wife is from here, and I live here, so I'm just around participating in the festivities.
So where do you live? You said Lithia Springs?
Yeah, I live
in
Lithia Springs.
And how long have you been here?
I just bought the house in November, but I've always been in the Atlanta area for the past 3 years since I've been in the league.
So talk to me about being undrafted mm-hmm. and then making a team, because that sounds really fucking hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, it definitely is.
And let the audience know what position you play.
Okay, so I play cornerback, and number one, before the NFL, I was a walk-on in college. I walked on at South Carolina State. I was non-scholarship for 2 years. I was a first-team All-American as a return specialist my junior year. And then after that season, leading up into my last semester of school and my last season, I finally was able to get on full scholarship. So I've always had to take kind of like the long road as far as to get like – to where I needed to get, which is the NFL. And being undrafted, you know, it's always extremely hard because you have guys that get drafted, then you have guys that come in that they signed to get the 90-man roster. So I was a rookie, and they had a few vets around the teams, you know, kind of how they do when they bring guys in. But I wanted to work hard, and I knew I wanted to take care of my family. So I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get on the 53-man roster. And I've been blessed every year thus far since I've been in the league to be on 53.
Did you watch the draft and think that call might be coming? Like, did you watch 7 hours or however long it is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched every day of it, every minute of it, every second of it.
Waiting for that phone to ring?
Yeah. And
do you got an agent, or are you doing it yourself?
Yeah, yeah. I had an agent at the time. I had an agent. And I had a few teams call me around the time the sixth round started. And it was like, hey, man, we're thinking about picking you up. And that was the Raiders and the 49ers. And I can't remember the other two teams. But it was like, man, we're thinking about taking you with our last couple of picks. And I was like, shoot, man, I'm just waiting on y'all. But, you know, they burst the bubble, and then they didn't make the
So that call doesn't come back that we're not taking you? It's just you just wait to see your name?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they just try to stay in contact with you, like, through text. Like, hey, man, we really thank you, priority. You know, we really want you. It was really just to really, you know, make you feel good, you know, like, so if we don't draft you, you know, we really want you to come down and be in our organization type. So and when it came down, after the draft was over, I had quite a few teams that were contacting me at the time with wanting me to sign undrafted free agent. But I mean, I was kind of hurt. But when I finally decided to go with Oakland, because I felt like I had a better chance at the time than I was coming out to actually make the team. And I chose them, and I went with it, and it still hasn't really hit me yet that I made it to the NFL, just for the simple fact, like, the type of way that I had to get here. So I've been grinding every day just to try to maintain and to stay in, and also not only to maintain but to actually go further than what I am in my position. So, man, it's been a grind.
What players did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, really, football wasn't my number one sport. I was a basketball player and a track guy. My mom, she played basketball and track in high school, and also my brother did. And I didn't know much about football until I probably say maybe like around the sixth grade or so. Then I had my old friends in my town. They asked me if I wanted to play. So I didn't have a lot of guys like I really watched. So, but in college, I kind of like looked at Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson. And oh yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know. He's getting on somebody.
Sorry, he's loud. Go ahead.
But yeah, Patrick Peterson and Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I felt like I had the athleticism of Patrick Peterson, and I had the length and the smartness of the game when it came, how it came so natural to me, like Richard Sherman. So those were two corners that I really looked at and was like, man, I want to be like and play like those guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about return guys? You have any return heroes?
Nah, not really. Not that I can really think of that I was just like, I really want to like play like him.
Right.
But I go back to my college days, though, because I didn't really watch NFL like that much. But Ted Ginn, like I used to see Ted Ginn on kickoff return and stuff, and he was crazy.
Right.
So I was like, man, if I can just get it like him, and where I can get a little open and slow, and where I can hit it and just let my speed do the rest. And so he was one of the guys that I really looked at as far as like a return specialist. Like.
So when you get to Oakland,
mm-hmm.
You're still not guaranteed a spot, right?
Yeah, I'm still not guaranteed.
Like they could
a spot.
Put you on the
practice squad, or they could cut me
or
and send
cut
me
you,
home. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm guessing you've seen enough of the Hard Knocks, right?
Oh yeah.
To know
mm-hmm.
like how it goes,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
Like that they could. So, how do you stay alive?
Man, you just put your head down and work hard, and try not to really get so caught up in the oh man, I'm in the NFL and
right.
like. Because, I mean, they really do catch a lot of people. But then also, like, it's a business side, too, that you have to also learn, too. And it's a numbers game. A lot of people don't really understand or know about the numbers. So they keep a certain number of people, like, no matter how good you do, like, at your position. So if they have 7 or 8 corners, then you're the 9th, even though you were balling and doing good. Like, you probably won't make it.
But here's the thing. This is what I mean, of course, it's they only film what they film. You can only see so much. But it seems like certain guys – like they literally just didn't get any reps because they just didn't have time, and
yep.
it's not even personal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because clearly the ones and the twos are going to get the most.
Yep.
And then like, oh shit, what if you only have like 6 reps that day? Is that how it goes?
Yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah. No, that's definitely
like,
how it goes.
You might just have a bad play.
Yep. And I actually, man, I was blessed. Honestly, my rookie year, I ended up straining my quad, and I missed the first preseason game, so I was out of reps that game, and I was like, oh man, I'm already behind the ball. Because I miss my special teams reps. Because number one, that's how you're going to make the team, by special teams. And especially as an undrafted guy. And I was like, man. And you know what I'm saying? I got to get back. So I ended up being able to play, like, I played, like, I think, like, 4 or 5 snaps. Like, the second game, like, it was strictly special teams. And I made the best of them. Like, I did good on my few gunner reps and kickoff reps. And I just kept going on as the preseason went on. Of course, and then I got some reps, like, in the defense. And but you're really going to get what you earn. Like, you're going to get the type of reps that you earn. Like if you're working hard, like, you got to work even harder because there's guys in front of you that have been in the game 2, 3, 4, 5, some 7 and 8 years, you know. So you're going to get what you earn. And if you put in the work, they going to see it. And they not just going to, like, let it go unnoticed. Just let it go by. They going to see, like, dang, we need to give this guy some chances.
So it's kind of like any job
yep.
where you tell someone, like, look, just bust your ass. And
yeah.
People notice.
Yeah, I mean.
If you show up to work on time.
Yep.
Show up early, stay late.
Yep.
Ask a lot of good questions.
And just show you care. Like, and just show, like, no matter what, like, you can't be one of those guys that get down. Even if you mess up on the play. If you're going to mess up, you better go 110%. Like, and I'm not, I wasn't perfect on all my assignments at all, but. I flew around like crazy, and they liked my speed and my physicality, and
right.
I just played with a lot of great effort.
For those that care about this kind of thing, what's your 40 time? By the way, that's never my kind of show. I'm not,
yeah.
But I figure I may as well ask you.
Well, I had a few numbers. I really don't know what it is. But when I did my pro day, I had some scouts tell me it was 4.36, 4.38.
Right.
And then I had some say 4.41.
Right.
So, I mean, 4.3, 4.4
Right.
Range.
And what's your max bench?
I think I did like 16 reps, 17 reps or something like yeah. that.
Can I arm wrestle you right now?
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding, bro.
I'm about to say, we can do it.
I guess to let the audience know, you are not a big guy.
Oh, no. I'm not a big guy, but I'm strong.
But I'm saying it speaks to that character of busting your ass to make a team.
Exactly.
Because, like, you could walk down the street, and most people are not going to say, that is an NFL football player.
Exactly. I get that all the time. And I also have a baby face, as you can see. Like,
right?
I,
So do I, but
like I don't get much facial hair, so people they be like, okay, you got a, like when if I don't have on like a tracksuit or something.
Right.
They,
what
if
I got on a t-shirt? What nickname did you have in high school?
Ham. Ham has always been my name. If you would have saw me yesterday, I had my chain say Ham on it. That's just been my name. Like it's just been, I've been called everything though. Ham, Ham Bone. I get called a lot of
but
different rappers'
called,
names.
But if you were called Ham back in high school, I don't think were we even saying going Ham back in high school? Was that
Yeah. It was a saying then.
Right, well,
oh
then
yeah, most definitely.
That's a nice one then.
Yeah, for sure.
Right,
for sure.
So then, when you get cut, was it like, oh fuck, or was it like, all right, I know I'm gonna get picked up by somebody? Or like, how did that go? How did the call, or do they call you in the office?
Yeah. So I mean, going into that year, I knew it, like it was a big change because we had a change with the entire coaching staff. So usually when that happens, you know, they come and do a sweep, like they clean house. So I knew then, kind of going in, I was like, man, I was kind of like the last corner last year, but I played a lot of special teams, but I got hurt, man. And I was like, ah, like I kind of felt it. And going in, you know, preseason, I mean, during OTAs and training camp, you at practice, and you seeing how your reps go. I done been around the game for 2 years, and it don't make me like a super veteran, but I done seen so many people come and go, and you can kind of feel the vibe. So I was like, I don't think I'm gonna make it this year. So I knew like going into each and every preseason game and every practice, like when we practice against like another team, it's like I gotta give it my all just to get that film. And the opportunities that I got when I was playing, I balled, like I went crazy. So I was getting some buzz around through the media, like through Twitter and stuff. They was like, man, Hamilton, he's doing real, real good and this, that, and the third. But I was like, yeah, I know, I'm pretty sure. I was almost 100% sure I wasn't going to be in Oakland. And when I got the call, it was on the last day, like hours away from like the last few bit of cuts, and they called me, and I wasn't surprised at all. Like, I've always had a humble mentality, so I never was like, big head, like, oh man, nah, they ain't gonna cut me. Every day I woke up and went to work, I was like, shoot, they can probably cut me now. So I've always kept that in the back of my mind, so that propels me forward to keep working hard and doing the things that I need to do, because I know it's 31 other teams. So whatever happened, it happened, and I just pray that whatever I did was enough to get picked up by another team, and obviously it was.
So how long was that time frame, though?
So I got cut, and I had to wait 24 hours to clear waivers, because the Oakland, they wanted to bring me back on practice squad, but I wasn't going to do it. I was going to go home, because I had been in Oakland for 2 years on 53. It was like, I'm not going to step down. Like, I'd rather go home. So yeah, I had to wait 24 hours, and right after 24 hours, I hired another agent. I had fired my last agent, and he called my phone like, hey man, you know, the New York Giants just claimed me off waivers. I was like, oh man. Like, that was great. But the thing was, I had my whole life in California. Like, I left college, me and my wife, with everything that we had. So I had
to
leave.
Is your wife behind you?
Mm-hmm.
Is this your baby?
Yep, my wife and my daughter. Her name is Aubrey. She's one. And, yeah, me and my wife.
She's going ham on that cell phone.
Oh, yeah. She got to. Because if she don't, she's going to be in here tearing this place up.
Listen, so I have three kids, 11, 9, and 5. And the first thing you learn as a parent is, like, you will throw out every rule, right?
Oh, man.
I'm not going to give my kids devices.
Yep.
But, so back when we first had our kid, like, the iPhone wasn't even out. So it was just like, and what Netflix wasn't even out. It was just like, I want to go take a fucking shower.
Right.
So, boop, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to survive.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm about to say, and now we really do really well with not giving her electronics. Only time we do it is if it's got to be something extremely important where we really need her to sit down.
Right,
like
you're
something like this
doing
now.
An interview.
Shoot, give her that iPad, or iPhone,
whatever it takes.
And let her just be her and stay out of her way. And not to get her started. So.
But when you said, like, I got to move my whole life, but that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
For players or, you know, right?
Yeah,
or coaches, it's like, well, I want to work. All right, let's go.
Yeah. And my story isn't like, just so like rare. Like, man, this happened to so many people, and especially like you going from coast to coast. Like, I went from South Carolina to California. I had never been to California until I got picked up by Oakland. So I went out there and moved out there. It was a different, like, the whole entire environment, everything was different. And then I had to turn around and go right to New York like 2 years later, and I had never been to New York. So everything was new, but I'm thankful for it, though. I really am.
So are you going to keep a house here? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I bought this house in November. I'm going to keep it here during the off season. Like, this is my permanent home. Like,
right.
I'm going to be living here.
So first of all, but I have to ask you, like, you chat with Gruden?
Yeah, I talked to him. I talked to him a couple times. I mean,
Ham.
Mm-hmm.
What you thinking about that? Yeah, that's my bad Gruden impression.
Nah, but that's really how he is, though. Like, like, you think if you see him on TV or in an interview, and you might think he acting some type of way, like, just for the cameras. Nah, that's him. Like, it's really him. He not doing no show. But, man, yeah, he was cool, man. He really loved the game. And, I mean, I obviously didn't get to be there, so.
But when you say you have that feeling coming, is it out of bounds or out of whatever to go up to your position coach and just say, hey, man, I'm kind of feeling like, is there anything I can do to make sure I'm sticking around here? It feels like.
No. You can do that. But me, like, I'm not really going to kiss any, like, you know what I'm saying, to, like, really get a spot. But no, I definitely understand, like where you can go up to somebody and be like, you know, man, I really feel like the vibe ain't right. Like, I can feel like I'm not really going to be around. But me, like, I done been around. I done seen it enough, like, to the point where it was like, you know, I don't even want to deal with it.
Because, again, it's not even necessarily kissing ass. Like I said, this relates to anybody listening with any job.
Right.
Right? Sometimes you think you have shit going on, and then you just talk, and it's like, oh, okay, I thought you thought this about me. Mm-hmm. I thought you thought bad about me. Whatever it is that goes unspoken, and then it's like, no, man, you're cool. We just, whatever. Or they just say, yeah, man, we're going to cut you. Great, now I can go focus on something else.
Right.
That's all I meant was, like, I'm not asking you to kiss the guy's ass.
Oh, no,
just, like,
yeah.
You can kind of feel it coming. Like, if you get close with a position coach, you just flat out say, like, hey, man, let me know so I can start making some calls or whatever.
Yeah, but, I mean, I had never been in that position.
Right. Now maybe you might do it differently.
So, right. So it'll definitely be handled different. And then my character and my pride at the same time, too, I was just like, man, you know, if I get God, I just get God. So, right. I mean, I felt like I had done enough to, like, get another opportunity.
So what do you got to do between now and when do OTAs start? April?
Yeah, OTAs start in April. So right now I'm just really waiting on the Giants to see if they're going to tender me or not, because they still own my rights. They're going to tender me, give me some type of extension, or they're going to let me go. Yeah, I'm just...
Tender means they're going to have to give you a check of some kind?
Yeah, uh-huh. So, like, they can give you, like, a low tender or a high tender. I think it's a whole bunch, though. I just know... All I know is, like, the low tender is, like, $2 million or something, and then, like... Like a first round tender is like maybe like $4 million or something like that.
I mean, I wasn't even asking to get in your pocketbook. I was just saying.
Oh, no, but yeah, that's, I mean, that's basically really what I know. Like, I know they still own my rights, which is the fourth, like, they own 4 years of you or whatever, where they have the option to tender you or to give you an extension or they can let you go. So, I mean, that's the only, really, all I really know about it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you seem like a great dude.
Oh, yeah.
I don't tell everybody that. What is your go-to Waffle House meal when you were in the South?
Oh, man, I got to get the double waffle, hash brown scattered, cooked well with a large order of bacon.
Now, it is so nice to talk to somebody that knows the answer to that question, because I've been asking a lot of these guys, and they only go to IHOP because they're not from the South.
Nah. When I come home, that's the first thing I eat. I got to have Waffle House. I mean, it's just, I got to have it.
I spent some time in L.A., too, and when I get home, that was always the first stop. Always.
Yep. I visited L.A., and, you know, I went to Roscoe's, the chicken and waffles. It was good. I guess I might have caught it on an off day, maybe. I mean, I wasn't up for the hype. I was just like, man, I like Waffle House better.
Well, here's a question I want to ask you. Because I'm like 20 years older than you, maybe more. I'm 47. I know I don't look it either.
Yeah, I'm 26. Yeah, I just turned 26. Okay.
So, social media, you talked about conversations happening to you about Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is so much a part of all of our lives. I was about to ask people or ask you, like, hey, where can people follow you? But, like, are you the kind of person that's like, I'm not posting my wife and kids on Instagram? I'm just like, because I know coaches and teams are looking at this. Like, how do you approach that?
Well, I'm not one of those guys that's on social media that's, like, super flashy or I get biggie. I kind of use it more so in a motivational and spiritual way. I do post my wife and my daughter every now and then. But it's not all the time. It's mostly, like, motivational and spiritual stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where can people – do you want people to follow you? Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely follow me. You can go to Instagram and follow me on Broham1993. That's Broham1993. And you can follow me on Twitter as well. You can type in my regular name, and it should pop up. And, yeah, man, if you get your daily devotion, I always post a Bible verse every morning. I've been doing it now for, like, going on two or three years.
What's today's verse?
I haven't checked it yet, so I got to post it. So I'm going to post it right after the interview.
You are failing the Lord.
I got 24 hours. I got 24 hours to do it. So
you do it every morning.
I do. But it's still morning time, if I'm not mistaken.
You know.
It's 10:39, so I got to as well.
I'm not a big Bible guy, but I started doing morning gratitude lists about 2 years ago. Life changing.
Yeah.
Just wake up in the morning, write 10 things that I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's real simple, like my phone.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's much deeper, but doing that on social, I've had a lot of friends start to do it. It's it's the great way to start the day.
Yeah, man. You know,
I haven't done mine today yet either.
Right. You just want to spread positive energy. Like, social media is already a really contaminated, like, thing because everybody has an opinion now. So, I mean, you might as well put good vibes, you know, positive energy out there. That may brighten up somebody else's day. You know, they may see a verse or something that or a quote or something that they can really relate to, and it may brighten their day. So you never know. So that's what I use mine for, really.
Dude, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too.
Bam! Schmolensen, a.k.a. The Schmo.
So do I get to interview Dave, or?
Let's interview this. What do you want to interview
today? I'd like to interview Dave a little bit.
Okay, we'll do Dave first. No one can see us, I guess. No camera. So
right.
Let's talk Dave, and then we'll get into the Schmo, and I'll get into character.
Right. Absolutely. So, because I want to start with, so everybody you know wants to be a fucking content creator, right?
Of course.
Hey, guys, right?
Yes.
Every 8-year-old girl, every 50-year-old, whatever, and most of it is garbage, right? A guy like you, wacky character, I'm going to talk to athletes, and I don't know how long have you been doing it?
Been doing the character of the Schmo for 3 years.
But when did you first, like, flip the vlog on and, like, it's just an idea? Because I assume you didn't have the grand vision?
Correct. I did not. It did not happen overnight. I have a really good friend who's a producer for Jimmy Kimmel who's always believed in me and wanted to do YouTube videos as Dave Schmolensen. And we started by doing 3 YouTube videos. And they were who should be the first pick in the NFL draft. Or I'm sorry, what to do now that football season's over. That was the first one.
Right.
How to pick the perfect bracket and why Dave Schmolensen should be the first pick in the 2015 NFL draft.
Okay.
Those were the 3 videos. And the post game, which was at the time owned by Yahoo Sports, picked them up. They got some traction, a couple thousand views each. And that's kind of how it all started to fall in place for, okay, I can start being a content creator. And then I started blogging. I had the Schmozone Lair at blogspot.com, and it became the Schmozone Lair, where the air is thin, the sports get heavy. That was kind of my theme. I was working for USA Today, consulting sports websites as a publisher, and then I rolled up my blog as its own affiliate, non-exclusive affiliate website of USA Today's, and I dropped the Lair to the Schmozone because I had an editor-in-chief who used to run a blog called leaveittodivok.com with his obsession with Lottie Divok. I had people as characters coming on, The Informer, who was writing about Nebraska football and betting lines. I had Commissioner Gordon, who was laying down the law. And then I'm like, well, what the heck am I going to be? Well, I'm the Schmo. This is the Schmozone. I'm going to be the Schmo.
Right.
So I created that. What is the Schmo going to look like? I thought, what would be fun that would honor the legends of the past with a modern twist? I thought, let's go turtleneck, funky color blazers, and my roommate in Los Angeles had these yellow shades that he got from, you know, one of those antique thrift stores out probably on Melrose.
Right.
And the Schmo came to life.
Right. What about that haircut, dude?
It's kind of funny about the haircut. I dated a girl who was an actress, and for 10 plus years, I had the same haircut. You know, I didn't do much with it. I just flipped it all and left a little bit messy. It's all one style. She's like, you need a modern cut. So I'm like, all right, I'll get a modern cut. Why don't you cut my hair? I let her cut my hair for me.
Right.
And she was a stylish girl, and she did a decent job. I'm like, okay, well, she did some sort of thing where there's more hair on the top than the sides. And then, you know, I've always kind of liked mohawks. What can I do that's kind of in between? So I played around with it, and I created the Schmohawk.
Right.
And that's what I sport.
Where is that woman today?
Who knows? Who knows?
So would it be safe to say the Schmo is somewhere between, Jerry Lewis and, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an old-time broadcaster that it would be.
Bob Uecker?
Maybe a little bit of the Uke, right?
Yeah. I say the character is Rodney Dangerfield meets Craig Sager, sports first, comedy second, modern day Harry Carey, tribute to my Chicago roots. So I study a lot of comedians. I love the Chris Farleys. I love the John Belushis.
Right.
I love Mike Myers.
Right.
And I'm a diehard sports fan. So
right.
It's just easy to combine the two.
Right. And so have you thought, like, you clearly know a little bit about everything, like, what do you know the most about? Like, what are your sports?
I would say NBA and NFL, and now MMA, specifically UFC and professional boxing.
Why are you so into MMA now?
Because I love about MMA that you're only as
this
good
as...
This
is the sign that we're not in character. The shades are off. Yes. We're not in character. When the shades go back on, you're in character. Yes. That's what you were saying to your camera guy.
You're only as good... Exactly. The shades were off. You wanted to get some social media posts. Martin, you can get some social media posts now that I have the shades on. Okay, we got to make sure the Schmo character is branded
correctly. As long as the Atlanta podcast gets a little love, right?
Of course. Shout out Atlanta podcast.
Right, do some tagging and whatnot. Absolutely. I'm going to tag your freaking Theragun. Sorry.
Tim Tam, power massager. Not that brand. This is better than Theragun.
We got to do this in the story, too. I want you to say hi to my friend Dario.
Yes.
Because I'm sure he knows who you are and who the...
Yes.
All right, so hey, Dario, look what I got with me here, the Schmo.
That's right.
Tell me about this thing, and I'm going to send this to him.
Yeah, take a listen to this thing. This is the Tim Tam power massager, better than the Theragun. I love it. Faraz Zahabi, a legend in MMA, came up with some great concepts. We use this. Great for sports recovery.
What's his name?
Faraz Zahabi. Faraz Zahabi. Trainer with George St. Pierre. Has his gym over at the TriStar up in Canada.
What the hell happened with this last McGregor fight?
You had a question for me, though, about why I love MMA and why I love professional boxing. Because unlike team sports, you're only as good as your next fight. And that's why I love promoting athletes.
Like, you don't get to ride on being Super Bowl champ from 5 years ago.
Exactly.
No one gives a shit.
Because your record is everything. If you lose, if you're McGregor, you just brought up Conor McGregor. Well, he's lost his last two fights. One was a boxing fight, and one was an MMA fight.
I don't even count the boxing fight.
Yeah, I know. He got paid.
Okay, so why are people acting like fucking lunatics?
What?
A detriment to their own
side. About the cage side.
Detriment to their own wallet. Well, first him throwing chairs at a bus.
Think about it for the second. It takes a lunatic to lock themselves inside of a cage to beat the crap out of another human being until another human being pulls them off and says no more.
Right.
It's over.
But most people don't throw chairs at buses.
They don't. But Khabib also jumped the fence and tried to do a flying knee to his training buddy, Conor McGregor's training buddy too. I mean, look at you. It's bad on both sides. Bad blood.
Do you think Dana White secretly loves it?
Of course. It's promotion. It's like WWE, man.
Do you think...
The more noise, the better. The more revenue.
Do you think Dana White is evil?
He's evil. I think Dana White is a great businessman. I think, obviously, there's things he says that can be contradicting, but he's a good businessman. He runs this shit pretty well. Look at the difference between Dana White and professional boxing. Professional boxing, there's promoters. There's people from all of different kinds. He's like this czar, okay? Dana White runs a tight ship. He's the one central leader. That's what we're missing in boxing.
Well, it's interesting. He's much like Vince McMahon.
True.
When you think about it, right?
Yes, yes.
So I am a little bit older than you, my friend.
Yes.
I grew up in that heyday.
Yes.
Right?
Of course.
I watched WrestleMania 3
uh-huh.
on the big screen at the Fox Theater here in Atlanta. Okay, like you paid $20 and you sat and watched it. Okay.
Yes.
So when Hulk Hogan picked up Andre the Giant, we lost our fucking mind. So I was like 12 years old. Then I forgot about wrestling for 10, 20 years.
Yes.
My kids are into wrestling and I'm all over it again. And I love it. And it's amazing. I sat front row. You want to watch people work? Nobody gets the shit kicked hard of them more than, except maybe these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, forget fake. Forget, like, if you put it this way, you watch a 3-hour match, you'll see like 3 to 5 blows that miss.
Yeah.
The rest of it is.
Oh, it's brutal. They used to take the razor blades and cut their forehead, show the blood. Like, I've listened to Ric Flair talk about the stories. You're on the road traveling all the time. You're always on and always performing. There's an element of acting, but there's also the element of athleticism. People don't realize how great of athletes they are. But real quick, I want to rewind to something. Here's my analogy to you. Phil Knight is to Vince McMahon as to Kevin Plank with Under Armour is to Dana White.
Because
just
without Under Armour, there's no UFC and vice versa?
So
that's the Nike Jordan thing.
So let me say this. So Nike, obviously, with the apparel industry, that's the cream of the crop. That's everything, right? And then WWE, that's the blueprint for the fight scene, how to run the organization. So I'm comparing Vince McMahon to Phil Knight. Now look at Kevin Plank, what he did with Under Armour in the mid-90s and how fast they've grown to be maybe the number two. They surpanted like Reebok. They're right up there with Adidas, right? They're right there. Kevin Plank climbing quickly. Just like Dana White, purchasing the UFC and building it mid-2000 and really rising to the top. That's why I make the comparison.
All right, I got to get back to this content creation thing.
Yes.
Because it's easy to skip details. I want to know how you got to the point. Like, you got a whole crew here, dude.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Is the Asian person with you?
The crew.
I'd be like, I don't know your whole entourage. So, I don't watch enough of your content to know.
So Helen is awesome. She's a one-woman machine. She has a show at NBC Sports Radio in Las Vegas. I met her the past 6-7 months covering the fight scene, going to the UFC Performance Institute, covering UFC fights with her. She's at Pro Boxing. We're just at the Pacquiao Broner fight at MGM Vegas. So she's a gorilla herself, and we've always connected. We've glided because, like her, we're both like wrecking machines. We're grinders.
Right. So how do you go to from just like obviously the writing gig, whatever, it's like, okay, I can actually pay the bills, traveling around, making content. First of all, what is your commitment to yourself? Is it 3 videos a week? Is it 5? Is it whatever, depends, event specific?
I live in the schmoment. I'm not day to day. I'm hour to hour, minute to minute. I literally get calls. You got an athlete to work with. I do training with athletes. I get beaten up by them. I literally do their training regimen. I earn the respect. And then I interview them. I know I got 3 commitments this week.
You know who else used to train? You know who else used to train fighters?
Tell me.
Well, you talked about Kimmel earlier, didn't you?
Jimmy Kimmel, that's my buddy. Yeah.
No, but Carolla. That's how Carolla got started.
Oh, okay.
He trained. You didn't know this?
No. I'm a sports guy. Come on.
Carolla,
man,
is a sports guy. Carolla. He's like, yeah, they brought me. I can't do a Carolla. They brought him in. they did some comedy segment where they were like training guys, okay. And he had, you know, I think Jimmy was like, oh, my buddy Carolla, no, like, anyway, look it up.
I will. I need to
believe you don't know this about, because if you've got this old school vibe, you know your history. So know that little piece of history.
Can't know everything.
I know you can't know everything. So anyway, so you don't have a commitment in terms of how much content I'm going to make every week, every month, whatever.
I love it. This isn't work for me. This is fun. Wake up every day, talk sports, get paid, make a living. That's it. And make people laugh.
Right. So what's the I'm pointing to imaginary top.
I want to be the number one sports personality in the world. I want to have the late night show for sports. And athletes know he or she's made it when the schmo interviews them. Give them the yellow glasses, brand new stuff. I got e-commerce in the works. I work directly with brands or sponsors. They pay me to create content for them. I consult them. I do behind-the-scenes stuff just as much as I do in front of the camera stuff. And it's easy money. It's a good time.
So how much are you on the tech side? Like, are you deep in the weeds there with fucking...
I write, produce, I edit, I book the talent. The only thing I don't do is film myself. I get people who can film with me.
So why don't you find someone to... Because edit, I know it takes a long time from a personal experience.
I don't trust anyone yet. I'm looking for schmoterns for interns, but it's like, it's hard to trust because by the time it takes me to teach someone else to do it, I could have already done it myself.
Right, but we talk about the magic word scale, right?
Scale, correct.
Right, you have to. You have to delegate, you have to trust. It's hard, I get it. Trust me, I'm a recovering control freak myself.
I think when I get to a certain income threshold that I have a number in my mind where I reach, then I could start to... delegate responsibilities, hire and pay out. But I'm not there right quite yet, and I'm an honest guy, full transparency. I'm getting close, but when I'm there, I'm sure I will.
So how much of you now is hustling, making calls, and how much is like it's incoming to you now, like, oh, we want to be on this guy's show?
Obviously, when it first starts out, it's 100-0. It's all me hustling out, and slowly, turtle speed, it really started to go down. At bare minimum, it's 50-50 now.
Right.
I would say it's probably more 60-40, getting the calls in and opportunities in than me hustling myself. In fact, now that I got these sponsors, it changes by the minute. Right now, this upcoming next few weeks, I haven't booked anything from me reaching out, people reaching out to me to get booked.
Right. What is your average YouTube views? I don't know. What do you track by a month?
Yeah, I mean, every video I do, I need to get at least 50,000 views and impressions.
Right.
And that's all platforms. I like Instagram. I do LinkedIn even. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube's big. But what's big for me, though, And I just started doing this for my own YouTube channel. I was always feeding other people's mouths. I work with the Playmaker Network. They do over 20 million impressions a month with their platforms. And they film for me. They're out here. So I do a lot of work with them. So I'm still growing. I get YouTube videos that perform well. I've had a couple that were in the hundreds of thousands of views. When I brought Jordan Howard, the running back of the Chicago Bears, working out, doing an NHL workout with Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman, who's now with the Dallas Stars, Connor Carrick, Chicago native, doing a hockey workout for an NFL running back, that was a lot of fun. That got a lot of views for me. This Tim Tam,
right?
I did a good boxing video with the new IBF middleweight champion Caleb Plant.
Right,
got over 300,000.
Yeah. Do you want? So listen, on my obstacle site, like, we review products all the time. Do you want to send us one? We'll give you some love, dude.
100%. Give me the address. I'd love to do that.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for talking to me, man.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for literally mowing down the schmo on Radio Row while I was mid-interview with David Njoku, the most chiseled body in the NFL. I'm not going to lie. I'm a straight guy, but I'm a comfortable
saying that. Listen, in the last – before I saw you, okay, I was just doing a story about how exciting it was to be around all these NFL people. And just then, I saw Michael Irvin. I got Jim Brown to say hi on my video. And then Rod Woodson. Like, it happens like that. This is the Super Bowl – of Super Bowl media. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
I don't even stay for the game. I just come for this.
Right. Well, please, I'm going to be on my couch for the game. There's no way I'm sitting in this nonsense.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's just all for all the corporate executives to just, you know, finagle some deals and finesse some things and schmooze and rub elbows, kiss babies.
All right. Well, good talking to you, dude.
Yes.
Let's fist bump.
Likewise.
Bink.
There you have it, folks. We still have episode 3 coming. It will be the one with Gary Vaynerchuk, Craig Gass, Regina Love, and Raheeb Rocket Ismail. Is it Raheeb or is that his? Yeah, it's the Rocket, goddammit. Anyway, stay tuned. Coming next week. Gotta run.